Good morning. It's good to see everybody today. This past summer, U.S. Representative Keith Ellison stirred the hearts of thousands at the Unitarian Association General Assembly in Minnesota. Representative Ellison, the first Muslim member of Congress, emphasized in his speech the power of our mission of love to overcome division and promote harmony. And he said, "There's enough love for you and for me. There's enough for the straight and the gay. There's enough for the people who were born in America and the new immigrants. There's enough for the blacks. There's enough for the whites. There's enough for the Latinos. There's enough for the Asians. There's enough for the Muslims, the Christians, the Jews, the Buddhists, the Hindus. There's enough love for everybody." I like that very much. And I really enjoyed the music this morning. It started off our day. I want to talk a little bit about how I got here and maybe a little bit about what I found when I got here. I grew up in a family with my mother and father and six brothers. Five of us were 2 years apart, and the other two were 13 years and 20 years younger than me. I never thought much about our family not being religious when I was growing up. Religion was hardly ever mentioned, and when it was not in a negative way. Once I can remember a local pastor coming to our house. He talked with us, invited us to church, and asked us all to join him on our hands and knees to pray with him. My dad came home from work about this time, and he was really surprised to see the whole family in the middle of the floor on their hands and knees. And he asked what we were doing on the floor, and who was this stranger down there with us? Anyway, the guy got up and left, and it was kind of embarrassing for him, I'm sure, and my mother too. But anyway, he didn't seem too happy about the whole situation. I kind of remember him telling us that if we wanted to pray, we didn't have to do it in the floor, and we didn't have to do it in a group session either. Another instance I can remember was my dad mentioned that one of my uncles had rabbit religion. I asked him what that was, and he said my uncle would sometimes be a churchgoer and sometimes be a sinner. And that was the end of that. Another religious experience for me was one of my cousins preaching funerals for the animals that would get run over by cars or the animals that would die from old age or other reasons. He grew up in the eastern part of Kentucky, and he knew how to mimic the preachers from that area. And some of you may be familiar with that, but they have a different delivery. Most of them are not too educated in theology, and they just open the Bible up and start reading and preaching out of that section. We had a cemetery on the farm where we buried all these animals. We all really looked forward to his funerals. And sometimes we'd kill something just so he could preach. Maybe a rat or something. He became a Baptist preacher, and I don't think anybody was surprised about that. Anybody knew him anyway. Growing up, we always had a lot of books around the house, but I can never remember seeing a Bible. After my mother died, my dad went to a nursing home with a stroke. I was going through their things, and I was looking mainly for a Bible. I found Zay and Gray books and books I'd read as a child, my mother's and my dad's books, but I never ran across a Bible, so I don't think they ever had one in the house, as far as I know. I think I was in junior high before I began listening to the radio, and I know I was out of high school before TV came about. We entertained ourselves in the evening by reading, playing games, and talking. The first time I attended church was after we moved from the farm to town. This is after World War II. My brother and I wanted to be a Boy Scout, and there was a Southern Baptist church a few blocks from our house that had a scout troop. One of the requirements for being in the scout troop, you had to go to Sunday school and attend church every Sunday. That was the main requirement. My brother and me would go to Sunday school every Sunday morning and church sometimes. The scoutmaster was the pastor of the church. He was also my Sunday school teacher. A couple things happened while I was there that I remember really well. The scoutmaster stressed that we should all work to make our scout troop grow. He suggested each of us bring a cousin, neighbor, friend, anybody we could that would be interested in becoming a scout. We lived in a mixed race neighborhood, and the two kids that I took and the one my brother took were black kids. And at the next scout meeting, when we took these black kids who lived on the same block as us and were our friends, when we got to the church, the scoutmaster, preacher, asked me to come into another room, and he said, "We can't have blacks in church in any way." I said, "Well, why not?" He said, "Well, it was against the state law to have blacks in church." I had to take my friends back home, and it was really embarrassing to me. That wasn't a complete shock, because we'd been turned away from the city swimming pool and other things a couple times. But anyway, that scout thing was really devastating to me. Another time, I was kicked off of the city bus for sitting in the back of the bus with my friends. The bus driver asked me to come up front. He said, "You're not supposed to be there." He stopped the bus. Said, "You need to be up front here. You can't sit in the back." And I said, "Well, I'm not sitting in the front." He said, "Well, you get off." So I got off the bus, and my friends got off with me. And we walked downtown to the movie. They had to sit upstairs, and we sat downstairs at the movie. And they would throw boxes and stuff at us from the balcony. My dad suggested I go down to the city hall and get my money back for being kicked off of the bus. So I did. I went down and asked to see the mayor. That's what he told me to do. But the mayor wasn't available, but one of his assistants was. So I talked to him and told him what happened. He gave me my dime back that I paid to get on the bus. Anyway, these were my first experiences with segregation and church. I talked with my parents about these incidents, and they tried to explain to me the best they could. They told me if I didn't want to go to that church, I didn't have to, so I didn't anymore. My next religious experience was when I started school at a college that was affiliated with the Methodist Church. By that time, I'd finished 4 years as an electrician in the Navy, and I'd finished my electrical apprenticeship program I started before I went in the Navy. So I was a little bit older than most of the students at college. I really didn't know what I wanted to do, so I decided to major in history, and I was taking several religious studies, Old Testament, New Testament, the Book of Job, comparative religions, and that sort of thing, and I really enjoyed that. And usually the professors would tell us that we don't care what you believe, and if you have any questions about what you believe, we can discuss it in class, but when we have the test, you answer what I taught on the test. And I remember one one incident, the question was, is Job a myth? And that's what he taught. And I say yes. But there were several that missed that question that day. But anyway, that was my first experience that the Bible said something that I didn't think it said. I went about that time, I had thoughts about becoming a Methodist minister. I decided not to because I had too many questions about some of the basic principles in the Bible. And also about that time, I couldn't figure out whether I was an atheist, an agnostic, skeptic, or whatever. I didn't know what I was. I had questions about that. So that's why that I didn't become a Methodist preacher. I thought, well, I can't be a preacher and believe some of the things that I believe. So I more or less stayed a closet skeptic for the next 20 or 30 years until I got to this place. And when I got here, I felt like I was able to express what I believed, who I was, and how I felt about my religious thoughts. And that was a good thing. I also, when I was engaged to this Catholic woman, and she and I decided that I might want to become a Catholic. Her parents too. But I went to catechism class. Now, I took the test and became a Catholic. This was the first time I'd ever been baptized, and I was about 26 years old at the time. I wasn't a very good Catholic, and when my fiancé and I split up, I left the Catholic Church. And after that, I decided to join the Evangelical and Reformed Church. And that was one of the denominations that merged to become the United Church of Christ. So I stayed in that for a long time. I've lived in several parts of the U.S., and I've been an active member in four different UCC churches. And I was part of a Presbyterian church for a couple of years, about 2 years. And just before becoming a part of this church, 2 years ago, I was a member of a local UCC church. I had not attended any church for about a year when a friend invited me to come here. I'm grateful for her for doing that. There's so many things that I love about this church that I could spend my allotted time sharing those things with you. According to the newest church directory, there's 89 members who joined since 2005. And there's also more than that because there's about 15 or so new name tags out on the table out there. So we've got a growing, nice, growing, vibrant church here, and I love that. Because I was always in churches that were dying before. One church I was in had 300 members when I started, and when I left that church 20 plus years later, they had about 80 people there. And I talked with one of my friends a while back, and she said there was 30 people there now. So, you know, it's kind of depressing to be in a church like that. I was introduced, one of my friends in church introduced me to one of his friends that came to church as a visitor, and he introduced me as a relatively new member of that church. I've been there over 20 years, and I kind of understand where he's coming from because I was one of the few people that had joined that church in the last 20 years. So, you know, churches like that are nothing like this church is today. I thought I heard Willis McCoy say a while back that he came here in 2005, and Reverend Van Zandt came here in 2005, and he really didn't know which one of them was responsible for all this growth. So I don't know which one he is. But anyway, I thank both of them for helping to grow this church. I've been told that the three things a church must have to grow are friendly, happy people, a good preacher, and good music. And we have all three of those and more. The first time I was here, the church band performed, quite a few people in that band, but they were playing Beatles music. And I loved that. And Joy played the boogie woogie like she did today a few weeks later. And Jim Moore's family performed for us. There were so many things going on musically that it was just hard to keep up with. But we have all of these and much, much more. We're a welcoming church, and that's important to me. We welcome all sexual orientations. And just being a universalist church, Unitarian church, we're open to and affirming of all people. And that's important to me. A lot of churches have everybody's welcome out on the church sign, but that doesn't necessarily mean that, I've discovered. One thing that's really important to me is the adult Sunday school class. My life has been enriched by that in many ways. I've learned a lot of things there. Right now we have philosophy class once a month, and the next time in a couple of weeks will be our sixth segment of that. And we got a really good teacher, leader of that class, Dr. Glossop. He's kind of familiar with philosophy, a lot more than most of us anyway. And I really appreciate that. John Herndon leads us in some of our classes, and other people too. It's just something different every Sunday, and I enjoy that very much. I'm really happy to be here and grateful that I was led to this place.